Coming up on Guys Talking Sports, we're talking about the NBA playoffs, four teams remaining, Eastern Conference Finals, Western Conference Finals. So you know we're going to get in talk with Cleveland, Toronto, Golden State, OKC. My guest host, Earl Walsh, joins me right now, and that's on Guys Talking Sports. Guys Talking Sports. I am Al Qualls, and with me, I got my guest host with me, Earl Ross. So what's going on, man? Earl, man, how's everything?
Loving life. Spring is coming. Actually, summer weather is coming, so you know I'm definitely looking forward to that, looking to all the flowers, the grass, the sinuses, and ladies, so it was all good.
Yeah, definitely looking forward to, well, I'm not looking forward to the sinuses because of my allergies, but other than that, everything else I'm looking forward to. So, we're going to get started talking and just going to jump right into it and talk about what's been going on in the world of sports today. And nothing more important, I guess not important, but one of the biggest things that is going on right now is, of course, the NBA playoffs. With everything that's happened, we have four remaining teams on the Eastern Conference. You got Cleveland Cavaliers and Toronto Raptors. And right now you have OKC playing the Golden State Warriors. Any surprises, Earl, that you're a little bit surprised about what happened with the playoffs as of late?
The only real surprise I really have going into this playoffs is really what's happening down in both Cleveland and Toronto. I mean, Cleveland had them up 2-0. I mean, I figured that Toronto would get one, but I think it's going to get two back-to-back. I mean, winning both their games in Toronto, so they definitely protected their home court, which they should have. You know, so now we're sending it back, you know, two tied back to Cleveland, which I am all but sure that, you know, the refs will make sure that LeBron gets every call in the book and then some. So I think that's probably the biggest surprise. I mean, you look at Golden State and the OKC, I think Golden State the weakness has never really been exploited to this degree that OKC has been doing it to them. The last time you see them get this exploited was really last year in the playoffs when you had with the Rockets in the Eastern Conference Finals, with him just getting into the paint and causing all types of havoc. And then when you go to Memphis, and you had Mike Conley before he really got injured, and he was doing exactly the same thing that, you know, Russell Westbrook and Durant is doing. So I think Golden State has always been susceptible to guards that can get into the interior of the paint and really cause a lot of havoc because they don't really have a lot of bigs or really, you know, any kind of really good wingmen to really, you know, guard them and keep them out the paint. So I think that OKC is just really just doing what the weakness is. I don't know if Golden State can really mask it to this degree. It's not looking really good right now because they're down by 10 points already, and it's only the first quarter. But the surprise has definitely been Toronto. I know they were good. I know Lowry, you know, was good, but, you know, they showed me something. They didn't just lay down to LeBron. They, you know, they're giving them a game, and, you know, the Cleveland Cavaliers fell in love for some reason in this playoffs with their three-point shot, which is not their game, and it just left them the last two games, really the last game and a half, I should say. And, you know, now they're coming back down to who they really are, and they need to go back to what they really are, and it's not three-point shooting. It's LeBron James putting his head down, driving to the basket, collapsing the defense, kicking out to Love, and then have Kyrie doing his thing. That's how they're going to win. They're not going to win three-point shots. I mean, if they're just going to hit, not miss, yeah, you got by with, you know, Atlanta Hawks and Detroit, but no, it's not there right now. So, LeBron, put your head down, go to the hole in Cleveland. You're going to get every call imaginable. Even if a person just walks by you, they'll probably blow the whistle, but that's your game, not three-point shots.
Now, I do agree with that. Well, I'll put it like this. I also agree that it has been some big surprises, especially with OKC. I put it like this. With OKC, what they're doing right now is making me a believer out of them, to be honest with you. The way that they're playing right now, I believe that they have the most chip on their shoulder right now. And to be honest, if they were to do this and beat Golden State, and to be honest, if they make it all the way and win the NBA championship, I have to say that this is one of the most impressive championships runs that I've seen in history, that I've seen in my own eyes. For them to beat San Antonio, which had a great record in regular season, they're getting to come back and beat Golden State, who was not only the previous champion, but had a 73-win season. And then to top it all off and to beat the winner of Cleveland and Toronto, even though I'm not counting my eggs on Cleveland yet, but if they could beat one of them and win the NBA Finals, I would tip my hat off to them, and I would respect them a whole lot more than what I have been giving them respect in the past. And, you know, they're doing this with a big chip on their shoulder with nothing to lose. And to be honest, this seems to be working because they're playing a lot better than they were playing during the regular season. I mean, matter of fact, OKC and Toronto are playing, to be honest, a lot better than they would have been during the regular season. Even though Toronto is struggling, and like you said, I really thought that I was giving them a game, but I really thought that they would at least be more impressive in battling the Cleveland Cavaliers. When I saw the first two games and saw how easily Cleveland was just running them, I almost gave up hope. But to see them come back in the past two games and to tie the series up is very impressive. And that's what I was looking for from the Toronto Raptors, though, that type of hunger. And DeMar DeRozan and Kyle Lowry, they're stepping up now, and they needed to step up, especially in these past two games, in order for it to be a series. Because before, there was really a no-show. They was missing a lot of shots. It wasn't really a factor. And Cleveland, to be honest, they were running at an all-time high, but it looks like that high is just coming down. And right now, Cleveland needs to get their act together. And I would be really concerned if I was a Cleveland Cavaliers person, because if they're not careful, Toronto is going to take advantage of it, and they should take advantage of it. And I really believe that they would make it a seven-game series. I still would pick Cleveland to win, but I would not be surprised if both series go seven games. I would not be surprised at all.
I could almost see the Cleveland Cavaliers series go seven games. I'm not that confident with the Golden State and OKC going seven games right about now. Just by the way, I mean, you put it, I mean, the first game, Cleveland has only, I mean, Golden State has only looked impressive for a game and a half. I mean, the first half of the first game, they looked pretty good. And for whatever reason, they got extremely cocky, and OKC punched them in the mouth. They didn't know what to do. Second game, they got a little bit lucky, and then they just had a great run. And OKC, I think, just I don't want to say gave up, but they just slowed down and said, we're going to wait till we get to, you know, back to home and play. And then the last game, especially even this, I mean, the last game, I mean, it just was just, I mean, OKC came in and just snatched their heart. And I haven't seen anybody do anything to them to change that factor. I mean, we can get into the whole thing with Draymond Green and kicking a leg, which I thought was, he should have been suspended, but I understand why they didn't suspend him right now. But
wait, so you thought he should have been suspended?
A fine and a suspension, yes, but I understand why they didn't do it right now.
Okay.
But I think Cleveland, I think they got a chip on the shoulder, like you said, because I think that people have been extremely dismissive of them. I think most people thought it was going to be, you know, Golden State and San Antonio, they were completely dismissive of OKC for good reason, because they gave nobody any kind of reason to think they were playing like now the entire season. They looked horrible for about probably like a good, you know, half of the season. But they're very surprising right now, and I think Golden State slept on them, and I think if they don't get their act together, if Golden State loses tonight, it's a wrap.
Nah, that I agree with. That
it's a wrap. It's a wrap. Whether it's going to be whether they're going to beat them in OKC, which I think they are, but if they lose tonight, wrap.
No, I agree. And what's funny it's crazy because Billy Donovan seems to be adapting on the fly, and OKC is a lot better as a team for it. I mean, when you think about it, who's this? I mean, you would have never thought that their bench would be stepping up as big as they have been. That's, to me, like, you never would have said to yourself, yeah, we're going to rely on Enes. Well, Kanter has been good for, throughout the regular season, but we're not going to, you know, I would have never dreamed to imagine that Deion Waiters would step up and make plays like he has been doing. And some of the other people that's on the bench, Randy Foyle, all those people, I didn't expect them to have their bench to step up. Like, and they're doing it evenly matching with Golden State's bench. I mean, the one thing that was that gave Golden State the advantage has always been their bench. But now OKC's bench seems to be getting the upper hand in the series.
Yeah, I mean, where is the people? You know, where's Sean Livingston? Where is, you know, Iggy? Where is he at? I mean, you know, where's your place? Bogut, which, you know, most people are not talking about. His absence there is huge because you have nobody in the middle that's going to be able to snatch some rebounds when they jack up these threes that don't miss. Nobody in the middle to kind of deter, you know, Durant and Westbrook. And Westbrook is just eating them alive going into the paint with no one is doing anything to stop him. I mean, what did Charles Barkley say a couple of times before with Golden State shooting on him, you know, three, someone's got to put him on the ground. Somebody got to put Westbrook on the ground. If you're going to take a flagrant foul, take one, but put him on the deck because he doesn't like getting hit. And when he gets pissed off, he gets, you know, his emotions take over and he gets real wild with it. I see nobody doing anything. I mean, that's a whole other conversation about how soft the NBA is right now because they're soft as Swiss cheese. But right now, OKC has snatched their heart, and I haven't seen anything. I'm not watching the game right now, but I haven't seen anything yet to show me anything different. And right now, I think this is OKC's the win.
Yeah, I like I said before, I was giving Golden State. I had picked Golden State originally to win, but after seeing these first couple of games, I mean, to be honest, after game one, I was like, wow, OKC is really showing me something. And, you know, they better watch out for OKC because OKC is coming there with nothing to lose. And especially riding an emotional high after beating the San Antonio Spurs so easily. It wasn't even a seven-game series. Like,
Which I called because OKC, I mean, they're younger and fresher than legs, and it was bad. You saw San Antonio get old right in front of our eyes. I think if San Antonio would have beat OKC in that first game, I think it was an aberration because San Antonio did this to OKC back in 2012 when they won the first two games and made OKC look like they even need to be on the court with them, and then OKC burned off four games by just athleticism. And they did the same thing to San Antonio. They're going to do this right to the finals, in my opinion, and they're going to probably end up meeting unless Cleveland has a complete serious meltdown. It's going to be 2012 again, OKC against LeBron.
Yeah. No, but it'd be kind of funny if it's an OKC Toronto Raptors finals because no one would expect that. I would enjoy watching a series like that. But I'm not counting that Toronto will, you know, win or anything in Cleveland, but I'll put it like this. Cleveland has their work cut out for them. And this is good for NBA fans because if Cleveland was to sweep Toronto and then, you know, wait until the finals, that would have been bad for the league. At least Toronto is giving them a run for the money. And I did say that Toronto would give Cleveland a run for their money. But I am definitely impressed with Cleveland because before the playoffs start, I said, look, if Cleveland don't get their act together, if they don't get it together by the playoffs, it would have been much more difficult for them to get to where they need to be. And they proved me wrong. They got their whole act together when the playoffs started. Did a great, incredible run before, of course, losing to Toronto in both games. But their run was magical. I mean, not magical, but it was a great run for them. Because the Eastern Conference, you know, other than Detroit, the whole series with Atlanta was a joke. And what makes it even worse is because that was the conference finals last year, and they still got swept. And it's just... I'm glad that the East is improving as a conference. Just needs a couple of more teams to get better. for it to be like a Eastern Conference rivalry or playoff series, you know, because it doesn't make sense that we have to wait for the conference finals for it to be a series, in my opinion.
I agree. And I mean, you can't fault LeBron for the talent on the Eastern Conference because they play whoever gets put in front of them. I mean, I think that the more sexy matchup would have been, you know, Cleveland against Miami. We would have had LeBron against Wade, and I was kind of hoping for that matchup. And I think that matchup might have been a little bit better against Cleveland because they had a lot more bigs that could have caused a lot of havoc. However, it was Toronto, and Toronto outlasted them, and you know, Wade just had an iffy seventh game, but still. The talent level, I mean, yeah, Detroit is going to be good. They're not good right now. There are a few pieces and maybe a season or two away, but they're going to be good. The Hawks, they just had a bad, bad series, but I don't think they could match up. But, I mean, LeBron just had not a cakewalk, but he had a very easy run to the finals. And, I mean, now we're going to see because they have not been tested. They have not been really pushed to the limit. So, now I'm glad Toronto's going to push them. We're going to see how good the Cleveland Cavaliers are. How do they, you know, handle adversity? I mean, they're getting pushed to – they're going to go to probably at least six games, in my opinion. Seven, I'm hoping seven. But I think
they have to go to six games now.
They're going six. I'm hoping seven, but it's probably going to go to, you know, six. But we're going to see just how good Cleveland is because if they didn't catch any adversity here, I mean, you're going to catch either an OKC that's red hot or a Golden State that's good, but they really – I don't think they really fired on all cylinders just yet. But I don't
– To be honest, I think Cleveland's best chance would be to go against the Warriors. I think that they're that hungry to beat the team that beat them last year. Because I'm going to say this right now. The way OKC is playing – Cleveland do not want no part of OKC.
No parts. Who going to D at Westbrook? Who? You going to put Kyle Irving on him? You going to get in foul trouble early. You going to put LeBron? Foul trouble early. Who you going to put on him? No.
All I know is that the way OKC is playing right now, and if the bench keeps playing the way that they're playing, I'm sorry, but I can't give Cleveland I'm not saying Cleveland won't win it. I just think that OKC is at this point right now playing at an all-time level. And based on the two losses that Cleveland just had with Toronto, I just think OKC is just proving that they're trying to take it all. And they're dangerous. They are very dangerous. And the way Ibaka is hitting his shots and the way Steven Adams and Enes Kanter is in the mid, they're a dangerous team, a very dangerous team.
Yeah, and I agree. If I was Cleveland, I don't want no parts of OKC right now. And if they do get OKC, which is still debatable, I mean, Warriors did kind of, you know, cut it to a two-point game. But Durant, if they go to the finals, Durant better not get all chummy with LeBron James. If you want to beat him, you go at him. You give him no love.
No, I agree with that. I completely agree with it. It'll definitely be interesting to see as the weeks go on. But I do want to say – I do want to get your take on a couple of things since we're still talking to NBA. These NBA coaches that are getting fired or getting let go, as you know, like Frank Vogel, for example, Larry Bird decided not to renew his contract with Indiana, so he goes down to Orlando. What is your take about just the coaches, this whole carousel of coaches?
I think that sometimes these GMs have a hair trigger on yanking people. Frank Vogel, did get your team to the playoffs, but, he had a bad – 2 years ago, you lost, you know, Paul George for, you know, darn near the entire season. you let go of your center, which 2 years ago was giving Cleveland all, Miami all types of hell. Then you yank him out. I would have done it. I guess Larry Bird has his reasons, but I think Frank Vogel was a good coach. I think he deserved to have another chance. Scott Skiles bouncing out of Orlando. I was very shocked about that. That was a little eerie to me. Jeff Hornacek in New York, I don't know what was that about. I don't think that was Bill Jackson's pick. I don't get that. I mean, the Knicks fans have been crying for the last 2 weeks about that. I mean, but still, you have a lot of coaches on the sideline. I mean, you have Mark Jackson. He hasn't got an eye yet. You had, Jeff Van Gundy hasn't got an eye, even though I think he's probably better at coaching. But I think there's a lot of guys out there that do deserve a shot. But when you're just, like, shifting guys from one team to another, and these other guys that have been coaches are not getting a nod, especially Mark Jackson, I mean, why not? But it's not – the NBA is not as quick to yank somebody as the NFL. NFL will yank you after one season if you feel like you're not doing, cutting the mustard. But it's – I don't know. You got to give coaches time to get the people in there and really get their system going.
I agree with that. I will say this, though. I feel as though that these NBA coaches should not be the only one held responsible. Truth be told, if I'm an owner and I own a team and, I feel as though that the GM, if the coach gets fired for something like that, I feel as though the GM should be let go as well. Because it's the GM's responsibility to put players, to bring in players together so that the coach can coach the right team. You can't get upset with, like for Frank Vogel, for example, like you said, he only had Paul George for – he just got Paul George back. Miles Turner was just turning into something. That's something that you could build off of. Like, you can't get upset with the coach because you didn't give them the right amount of players that, for the team to help go to that next level. So, to be honest, I wish there was a clause where if the coaches were let go, the GM should be let go as well. Because the GM's – you can have the best coach available, but if your GM sucks as a GM and don't bring in the players that is necessary, they should be held accountable. You can't expect a coach to turn a player, one or two superstars into a 50 to 60 win team overnight. It just doesn't work that way. I think GM should be held responsible as well. If I'm the owner, that's the first person I'm looking at. I'm not looking at the coach because, to be honest, it's not really his job for him to – he's only coaching the players that is put in front of him. And that's why you see coaches now are looking – they're not looking to coach. They're looking to become the president of the operations as well as the coach. Like, you see Doc Rivers doing that in the Clippers. Tom Thibodeau just did that with Minnesota now because it secures his job as a coach because, that he can't fire himself.
Yeah, and I think you're going to see a lot more coaches. I mean, a lot more coaches of stature that's going to demand that. I mean, it's going to happen. I mean, like you said, I mean, the GM brings on a coach, and you have to work along with the coach as a GM to draft these players, to either bring in these free agents or whoever. So if things don't work out, like you said, it shouldn't be just a coach. The GM should be on the hook just as well.
Yes. No, I definitely agree with that. And it's amazing because – and I hate to bring this in, but, for example, with the Jeff Hornacek hiring with the Knicks, like you said, I was just, dumbfounded. I'm like, where did this come from? Because all this talk about Phil talking about I want to bring in somebody to implement the triangle offense, triangle this, triangle that, someone that knows the triangle. And I agree. I don't think it was a Phil Jackson hiring. I think it could have been Dolan's work behind the scenes to bring him in. If that is so, I'm curious to find out if Hornacek will still implement the triangle offense. If he does, I'm very curious to see how that will work. If he doesn't, then that makes it even more puzzling the fact that you bring in someone and when you have all these other coaches, Mark Jackson available, you had Tom Thibodeau available before he went to Minnesota.
Yes. So
Like, and you didn't even take a look at him. You interviewed Frank Vogel, but you didn't even consider him for the Knicks job. So it's so puzzling, the fact that they hired some Jeff Hornacek with no problem at all. So I'm just curious as to how all this process began. And I'm just thinking from a Knicks perspective because that's what I heard a lot. But like, there's other coaches, and hopefully you start to hear more people become available for all the other positions that's out there. But I believe the head coach, they always get the brunt of something when something goes wrong. They're always the first person to go, and it's unfortunate.
Personally, can we do something to get rid of owners? Because Dolan needs to go, because Dolan's just been the worst for the Knicks. I mean, it's like about all the players and coaches that have been through that team that have not done. Dolan is the worst. I mean, he literally ran that team into the ground.
But Dolan brought in Phil Jackson. So, yeah. You know, with the belief that Phil Jackson would turn everything around.
What about all the other coaches and people that he brought in before? Need I go into the dark ages about 10 years ago with all those high price contracts they brought in?
No, you don't have to go into that. You definitely don't have to go into that. But it's amazing that the fact is, the owners nowadays, they'll, you know, some owners, majority of owners, they get to the point where they know that that's something that they can't, you know, they're not good at. They need somebody to be brought in to handle that aspect, because they know that they don't have the knowledge, the NBA knowledge, as some people, you know, that is available. I'm just more curious with what's going on with all these NBA teams that's out there trying to improve, but yet keeping the same GM and the same philosophies. Like you say, even with the owners, sometimes they have that same philosophy as well, where nothing is – they're not winning. It's not doing anything to change the culture, their team culture around for something positive. So, you know, that's just how it is with some teams and their owners. Jim and Dolan is definitely one of those teams.
Yeah, he is. Just like the Jokers over there in LA. We'll see how that all pans out.
Yeah, and Philadelphia as well. Even though I still say this, Colangelo will turn that around. I truly believe that Colangelo will turn that around. Yeah. But I'm interested to see who they're gonna pick, the first draft.
If I was them, I don't know if this is a segue into the draft, but if I was the Sixers, I would go with Ingram.
Okay, I'm curious to see why you would do that.
Unless you're willing to get rid of one of your bigs, you brought in Jamil Okafor, you brought in Embiid, you got in Noel. If you bring in Ben Simmons, who they classify as a power forward, I mean, that's a huge log jam in your front court, and you have nobody in the interior to you know, jump, you know, taking jump shots, create their own shots. You don't really have a certified point guard, but you don't even have a shooting guard. So now all you got is centers and power forwards, and a power forward that's playing off as a small forward. You bring in Ben Simmons, which I'm still not sure about, then you're going to have all that logjam right at the front court. You need someone to create their own shots. And once they got rid of Michael Carter Williams, which I thought was a stupidious move, then now you are front loaded in the front. So if you bring in Ingram, my opinion, if you bring in Ingram, at least he's a wing guy that can create his own shots and he has a good jumper for right now. But if I'm a Sixers, they'll probably go with Ben Simmons.
Yeah, to be honest, I would not be surprised if they still take Ben Simmons first. But then they're gonna trade somebody.
Somebody got to go.
Somebody's gonna go. I'm thinking more so Noel. Because I don't think nobody's going to try. Nobody's looked at Embiid because he has never played yet. So I just
no one's taking Embiid. Yeah.
No one is taking Embiid. So I see Noel going somewhere for. They're going to probably bring in a veteran person at the two, because I think they really are in love with Ish Smith down there. I'm pretty sure of it. So I think they need a shooting guard. So I wouldn't be surprised if they traded Nerlens Noel in a pick for some type of veteran shooting guard that's available if they can't get him in free agency.
If they do that, then yes, then you're been, then the pick with Ben Simmons will make a little bit more sense. But if they don't get rid of all those, somebody got to go. And like you said, I think you get a little bit more back for Nerlens Noel and Embiid. And I don't know why they picked Embiid anyway. He was hurt when you picked him, and he hasn't done anything jack since.
Yeah, no, I agree. To be honest, I'm going to be surprised if Embiid doesn't play sometime this summer or anytime soon. I wouldn't be surprised if they buy his contract out, because that's when they know. That's when you know. But it's interesting because, like I said, regardless of the fact, no matter who Philadelphia picks, it's a bonus for the Lakers because they definitely have now the right pieces to build about, whether it's Ingram or whether it's Simmons. So they'll definitely have a start, at least a nucleus with D'Angelo Russell and whoever they pick with the draft, this year's draft. So,
yeah, I think the Lakers are in a very good spot. They can take either or, and I think they'll be fine.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I'm so mad that I'm mad at my team because Boston now has the number 3 pick. That whole Billy King era is just so annoying. Like, it's to a point where Billy King is already gone, and his effects of what he did is just going to still be etched something somewhere, somehow, some shape or form. Like, I won't even think about it until next year's draft, and then come to find out we don't have it because of something Billy King did.
Good old Billy King. And right now, just to give you a heads, just to give you an update, is Golden State 43, OKC 52, with about 4:35 left in the half.
We're going to talk about this. I mean, we'll have the next time we talk this, we definitely going to have to talk about this, because I'm telling you right now, if OKC wins this series, Golden State can no longer talk about the 73-win season. I don't care what they say. And to be honest, this whole thing about, you know, with the Draymond Green situation and stuff like that, he better not say anything if they lose the series at this point.
Yeah, he hit me so bad when he came off with his mouth and said that, Portland was done. But when they asked him, like, do you think Portland's done? He's like, yeah, they're done. And he was looking at him, I was like, are you sure? He's like, yeah. I was like, they were so smug and so arrogant going into the series. Right now, they're getting punched in the mouth, and they don't have anything. They can't do anything with it.
I wish I could be an interviewer, because I could go. That would be, if they lose this game, I'll go straight to Draymond and be like, so, you think OKC is done?
He might kick you in the nuts.
Hey, let's get something straight. I'm a dude, so if you try to do something like that, we may have to end up throwing bowls. That's just me. I don't mind fighting a 6'8", 6'9" guy at this point.
I hope Adams gave him a good check or a good hard foul in that game when he came back in.
Yeah, no, but I respect Adams for handling it the right way. You know, he could have just said, you know, something about it, but he ignored the situation and just focusing on his team. So I think Adams is handling it the right way, even though everybody's complaining about that comment that he made, which I don't understand. And I'm gonna say this real quick: I really don't understand people nowadays making a big deal out of something. You know, you heard about the comment Stephen Adams made, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Now, let me ask you a question. Did you think it was a big deal?
I didn't think it was a major league deal. I mean, once I found out where the guy was from and how long he's been in the country, I don't like to give people passes, but I'll give him a benefit of the doubt. Being from New Zealand, only really been a couple of years, so he doesn't know the culture and how some words can seem inflammatory to other people. So, did I like it? No. Was I going to get all out of jump out of my skin? No, because I mean, maybe I'm getting old, but you know, if you're going to sit there and call another person, you know, a black person going to call another black man nigger, nigger, nigger all the day, don't get mad when somebody else says something to you and you're sitting there just validating a word for other people to use. Now, monkey was probably not the best for, you know, adjective he was trying to use, you know, and I saw it and he like paused. He was trying to think of the best adjective to explain how, or, you know, try to compare how fast Golden State was moving. And he picked that word. He picked a bad word. I don't think he did it with any malicious intent. I wouldn't think he even realized what he said until someone probably told him once he got in the locker room, hey, what the hell are you saying? So, no, I'm not going to jump on Dallas' throat. I'll give him a benefit of a doubt once.
No, I completely agree with everything you just said, and I co-sign that. I give him the benefit of the doubt. I really didn't take that to heart. And like you said, you know, for people that, and this is from our culture, you know, for people that say it so many times over and over again, like, his culture is completely different. He wasn't born in the U.S., so you got, I mean, I give him the pass for, you know, not knowing. But now that he knows, you know, I doubt if he'll ever say it again or make a comment of it again. And it is what it is at this point. And I'm just glad that it's not as big as an issue as, it, you know, a lot of people are making it out to be.
Yeah, so. Trust me, in that locker room, I trust and believe Durant and Westbrook probably pulled him to the side and said, hey, that was not the right language, the words to use. And also, don't ever say that again. So I'm pretty sure those two probably handled that in the locker room, and I don't expect to hear him say anything like that.
Yeah.
At least on that team.
No, I agree with that. But for right now, we could talk more about this the next time we have another episode of Guys Talking Sports. But for everybody out there, I'd like to thank you guys for checking us out. Earl, I thank you again for coming on and guest hosting and talking sports with me. So just let everybody know where they can reach you at.
Well, I'm still on Facebook, you know, JEROSS number 7, same handle on the gram and as well as Twitter.
All right. And, of course, you can find me at I Am Al Qualls on Twitter. Again, I Am Al Qualls. You can find me on the same handle on Instagram as well. You also can check me out on my website now. Just started a new website out, www.alqualls.com. But for right now, I'd like to thank everybody that subscribed. For those subscribers out there, I really appreciate you guys checking in on me, just making sure that I'm good. For everybody else, we will be doing Guys Talking Sports. Just won't be as much as it was originally, but we will definitely make sure we keep one out there each and every time. But for now, this is Guys Talking Sports, and I'd like to thank you guys again for checking us out. And until next time, you guys stay safe. Be at one.